Thank you, TJ. I asked him to read that passage because that's actually in the part that we're going to talk about today, but I'll never get there. Wasn't the last song, the song we sung, great? His grace reaches me. I love the song. We're going to be talking today some of the results of that grace. As Robert and the elders have given me the opportunity to speak, I've been speaking from Romans. First couple times from 6 and 8, which is the doctrinal part. And last time I started in chapter 12, 1 and 2, which is the start of the practical part. Because Romans tells us how Christians are before God. That's what we talked about the last time. What we'll talk about today is 3 through 13, which is a Christian and the church, how he deals with his brethren. Then he'll talk about how the Christian deals with worldly people. And then he'll talk about how they deal with the government and how they deal in brotherly love and how they deal with weaker brethren and how the Christian deals with unity. Today we'd like to talk about the Christian and the church. And we're going to talk about 3, 4, and 5. It's probably about as far as we'll get. These passages in 3, 4, and 5 are spoken of in more detail in 1 Corinthians 12. He says in Romans 12, verse 3, he says that I say through the grace that was given me, to each man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt each man a measure of faith. Even as we are many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office or the same function, so we who are one body, we who are many members are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. Now Paul starts out in this by speaking of the grace that was given to him. Verse 3 is a call to humility. And that call to humility is because of the grace of God. Because of the grace of God, Paul didn't say he was anything, and we're not anything. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the grace of God was not bestowed upon me in vain, for I labored more than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul says, whatever I am, it is because of the grace of God. And not only that, whatever I do is because of the grace of God. He's calling all of us, before we even start talking about our relationship with our brethren, to get us down to humility. To quit thinking higher than we ought to think. We've got to realize, just like Paul says, that whatever we are, it was by the grace of God. What makes you different from the guy that's begging food on the corners of the street? The grace of God. What makes you different from all the lepers in Asia and India around the world that's eating up their bodies? The grace of God. And because of the grace of God, it ought to make us humble, not proud. Because we realize everything is by the grace of God. When Jesus was saying in John 15 that he is the vine and we are the branches, he goes on down to verse 15 talking about a vine or a branch that's not in that vine. And he says, apart from me, ye can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So Paul says right here, he says, by the grace that was given me. He's talking by the grace that was given him to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He's calling for humility. Not to think more highly than well to think. That's man's greatest problem. I think it is. Pride. And even though we don't like to admit it, we all think we're pretty good, don't we? Now, you don't run around and tell everybody, boy, I think I'm good. But you know, usually you can tell by the way we act, we think that. And Paul's telling you, get over it. Get over it. Because even Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And we need to have a proper assessment of ourselves in the sight of God's assessment of us. Not in our assessment. We need to properly look at it. He says to think so as to think soberly. That means with good reasoning and thought, understand the position you're in. Realize that as we're talking about the brethren, the Christian and his brethren, he tells us over in chapter 12 of verse 1 Corinthians, in verse 18, he says, for now God has set the members, each one of them in the body as it pleases him. Everybody that's in the body of Christ is in the body of Christ because that's where it pleases God. We got to understand that I am not important in this body as myself. I'm only important in this body as I use the gifts that God gave me to help this body. God doesn't have any ungifted people. We're all gifted. He gives them all to us. We need to understand that what we are is because God gave it to us. And that'll take care of all pride. Paul tells them earlier in the Corinthian book, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, he says, finally, brethren, I have in a figure transferred these things to myself and Apollos for your sake, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written, and that no one of you be puffed up against the other. Why? Look in verse 7. Who made you to differ? Or what have you that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you glory as though you did not receive it? Paul says, listen, I'm using me and Apollos for an example that you don't go beyond the things that are written and that you don't be puffed up one against the other. Jealousy ruins more bodies of Christ, I guess, than most anything. Got to do it my way. I'm the important one around here. Paul is telling us everybody in this body is important. Just as important as any other one of us. We all make up this body. We are all important. And he says, who makes you to differ? Do we differ? Of course we differ. Well, who made us to differ? It's not your brilliancy. It's not your money. It's not whatever you think you are. Who made you to differ is God that made you to differ. And if you have any wealth, well, you need to go back to Deuteronomy 18:8, where God says Jehovah gives you the ability to get wealth. If you're wealthy, you ought to be humble because God gave you every cent of it. And if you're intelligent and know anything, it's because God gave you every bit of that ability to know something. Who makes you to differ? God did. What have you that you did not receive? Nothing. Therefore, what are you? Nothing. You are nothing except what God gave you. But God gives you these things for a purpose. And it's not a selfish purpose. He said in Ephesians 4, verse 7, he says, but he gave unto us grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So all the grace we get and everything we get is from God. It's not from us. We don't do it. We don't have anything about it. So he says, think soberly. Realize what you are. Realize how totally unimportant you are, except for what God gave you. We don't need to run ourselves down. God didn't make trash. And God made us. But on the other hand, we don't need to puff ourselves up and think we're something when we're not. In fact, if we understand what Paul's telling us right here, the more ability you have, the more humble you ought to be. The more ability you have in any field, the more humble you ought to be. Because God gave you those blessings to use for Him. Not for you. They're to use for Him. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, according as each hath received a gift. I said right before, God has no ungifted children. None. I say unto each one of you that hath received a gift, ministering it in among yourselves with good stewardship, the manifold grace of God. God tells you that He gives you all those gifts, and you are a steward of those gifts. What's a steward? Does a steward own what he's handling? Nope. Joseph is a great example of a steward. He goes into Potiphar's house. And God, through Joseph, blessed Potiphar's house till Potiphar makes Joseph the number two man in his house. He said he didn't even know what was going on in his house. He knew one thing. He knew that God was blessing his house through Joseph. And he put everything, except his wife, under his hand. And he didn't even know what he was doing. And Joseph, as a good steward, was making this house wealthy. And in all of this, in all the gain that took place in that house, Joseph owned nothing. And God says, according as each of you have received a gift, ministering among yourselves as good stewards of the grace of God. So whatever gift you have, whether you are a good speaker like Robert, whether you're good elders like we have, Dave and CB and Robert, whether you're good deacons like all of them we have, I won't start naming because I'd miss one for sure. Whatever you have, that's the gift that God gave you to minister among the brethren as a good steward. That's not yours. God gave it to you to use. Jesus also says, if you don't use it, I'll take it away from you. Every Christian, everybody that is in Christ has a gift from God. And we're to be using all these gifts together to bring glory to God. And He says, you do it according as God has dealt each of you a measure of the faith. Wherever God puts you in this body, you be serving the body in that place according to the measure of the faith. Now, where do we get faith from? Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. That's where we get it. He's not telling you to be lazy and sit back and say, well, this is all God gave me. It's not what He means at all. But God can only give you the gifts according to what faith you have. Therefore, we need to be increasing in the faith so that God can give us a greater measure of the faith. But it's all from God. Jesus says in John 6, when He's talking to the people there in verse 44 and 45, He says, no man can come unto Me except the Father that sent Me draws him, and I'll raise him up the last day. For it's written in the prophets that all shall be taught of God. And all that have heard from God and learned comes unto Me. It's all God's work. How do you know anything about Christ? How do you know anything that Gary talked about, about what Jesus did for us. The only way we know anything is because God told us. And as we get in that book and grow and understand, our faith grows, and then God can give us a greater measure of the faith, talking about the gifts that He gives us to use within the body. The place to serve. Listen, nobody earns his place. Nobody deserves his place. It's all God-given. And I think this is completely basic to understanding where we have to start. To understand that we are nothing. And that everything we have is a gift of God, and He makes us stewards of those to use for His good pleasure and the building up of the body of Christ. He'll tell you in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, that all these gifts of the Spirit are given to be used for the good of the body. Not for yourself. That's what the world does. The world uses all the gifts God gave them to figure out how to make more money or to do what they want to do. But if a Christian does that, he's prostituting the gift that God gave him. Because the Christian does it for the building up of the body of Christ. Verse 4 and 5 now. For even as we are many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office or the same function. He's talking about the diversity of functions that are within the body so that we can have the unity of this organism. Now you notice I didn't say organization. People talk about the unity of the organization. This is not an organization. An organization is something man makes, something man organizes. This is an organism. An organism has life. It has vitality. This is the body of Christ. Amen. Now in 1 Corinthians 12, which we'll go read some of it pretty soon, when he gets through talking about all he talks about all these individual members, and he doesn't say, after he does that, he doesn't say he is comparing the church with a body. He says in verse 27 of that book, now ye are the body of Christ and severally members thereof. We are the body. It's a living organism. Therefore, we have to understand. He will use a physical body as an example of how this should work. But the body itself is not anything but a living organism. Now look in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read some of that. He starts out in 12 talking about the Holy Spirit and all the gifts He gives. But we want to start about verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Now we know that. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, is it not, I am not therefore the body, is it not therefore the body? Or if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If all was a hearing, where is the smelling? Then he gets to the verse I used a while ago. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. We ought to be thrilled to death with whatever gift God gave us, because we know God gave it to us and He put us in the body with that gift. If you want to be proud, go be proud of God, because He thought you of enough value to give you a gift. But it is not your gift. And it is nothing for any one of us to brag about. Verse 19. For if they were all of one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, but one body. Now he's telling us that we're all put in here for a different purpose. He didn't put all of us in here to be preachers. And sometimes we don't understand these. Actually, we give lip service to it. We understand it in this body. We understand how this body works together. He said, if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Verse 22. Nay, But much rather those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. What do we usually do with the weak members? Well, I know the elders do a lot of praying and chase after them, but you know, mostly weak members, they kind of get ignored. He says they're necessary. And these parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts are our more abundant comeliness, whereas our comely parts have no need. But God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the part that is lacking, that there be no schism in the body. That's why. No schism in the body. But the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one suffers, the whole body suffers. If one is honored, the whole body rejoices. We are the body of Christ. Now we understand when we talk about our body. I'm not even going to get through where I was going, much less get over to where he read. We understand our body. Our body works together so wonderfully that it's unbelievable. And we don't even think about it. But God's telling us this is how the body of Christ is to work. We don't have the same functions. We have different functions so that we can get together and make a body. If the whole body was a mouth, then who would listen? Our bodies, listen, our eyes see some good-looking food, and our nose smells those good flavors, and our hand reaches out, our mouth opens up, and we put that food in there, our teeth chews those things up and gets it all chumped up, and then our tongue swallows it down, our stomach digests it, our stomach digests all this stuff, and then when it's all digested, it goes down into our small intestines, and there's where it can start doing some good. All this time, it hadn't done a lick of good. But it gets down there, and our oxygen-rich blood goes through there. Now, how did it get oxygen-rich? Because we have a lungs, and we have a nose, and we have our breathing capacity, and all that puts oxygen in the blood, and then that blood picks up all the good stuff from the food that all of our bodies has been digesting, and it takes it out to all the cells of our body, and everything's happy. What happens when some part of that fails? Now, we all know what happens. We have evidence around us. Some of us have enjoyed some of those evidences. But the whole body, there's not a jealous part in your body. Your hand is never jealous of your mouth, which it puts food into. There is no room for jealousy because we know the function of the hand and the function of the mouth is two different things. And we need to understand that in the body of Christ. We've been down, as Robert said, I think he said, talked about the retreat, the Friday and Saturday. And when we were down there, they mentioned a bus program. You ever been in a congregation that had a bus program? Were you part of the bus program? And if you weren't part of the bus program, how did the bus program people make you feel? I mean, whatever we're anxious for, we kind of make the other people think they're a little inferior because they're not involved in that. Did you ever hear such a thing? We have a deaf program. Who's signed up for the deaf program? If you're not signed up with this, you don't care about deaf people. You ever hear such things? Boy, I have. And we're trying to throw a guilt complex on Christians, trying to get them to do something they're not gifted to do. And God gave us all these different functions so that we could work together and make the body of Christ what He would have it to be. Don't be stepping on other people because they're not doing what you think you ought to be doing. We have preachers, we have elders, we have deacons, we have secretaries, we have nurses, we have doctors, we have engineers, we have whatever you could name. And they're all put in this body for one purpose. I can't even get to verse 5. For one purpose. To understand that every one of them is a slave of the body. A while ago I said in verse 7 of Ephesians 4. He said He gave to each was given a grace according to the gift of Christ. For when He ascended, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now this He ascended, what is it? But He also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended, the same as ascended far above the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave some to be apostles. And He gave some to be prophets. And He gave some to be evangelists. And He gave some to be teaching pastors. These are gifts that God gave some men, not everybody. I hear a lot of talk, and you got to understand what the meaning of it is. I hear a lot of talk about everybody's an evangelist. Well, it depends what you're talking about. Because Jesus said He gave some people to be an evangelist. Now, we know that all Christians are striving to be like Christ, therefore they want to reach all the lost they possibly can. We all do that. And in that sense, that's evangelism. That's not the evangelist He's talking about here. Here He's talking about Robert. And the pastors, CB and Robert and Dave. And He says He put them all in this church for a purpose. And that purpose doesn't mean they're any better than anybody else in this church. Maybe it means they're more of a slave than the rest of the church. Because they're not over this church. He tells you what they're here for. They're under it to raise it up. To build it up with teaching, with guidance, with discipline. Whatever they need to do. He tells you in the very next verse. I was in verse 11 a while ago. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teaching pastors. For the perfecting of the saints, of the work of the ministering, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's what they're here for. They are doing their job as slaves of this body to build it up, to perfect it. But everybody in this building is to yield themselves so that they can be perfected in the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. So that we can all come into the unity of the faith, into a full-grown man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That we be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine and the sleights of men and craftiness after the wiles of error. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, even Christ. Now listen to verse 16. Still in Ephesians 4. Through whom all the body, fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in due measure of each several part, makes the increase of the body to the building of itself in love. There's where we're going. And everybody in this body is using the gifts that God gave him for that one purpose. Whatever we're doing for the glory of God. We're building this building up, this body up, this organism that we talked about that has life. And all of this is together for a purpose. And that purpose is evangelism. Whatever you do in the body, if it's not for evangelism, you've missed the boat. Whether it's our preaching, whether it's the elders' guidance, whether it's the benevolence, whether it's building, whatever it is, if it's not for the purpose of evangelism, then we missed the boat. Jesus says, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. Paul speaks of Jesus, says he come to seek and to save that which is lost. And when we become like Jesus, we build up these bodies to grow, to be edified, to increase. However we do that, but all of it is for the purpose of saving lost souls. Amen. Amen. We need to consider whatever programs we have, if it's not for that purpose, cut it out. Because that's why we're here. And I didn't get to verse 5. If any of you is not a member of the body, you're missing the greatest thing in the world. You're not only missing eternal salvation, you're missing the thrill of being amongst a loving bunch of people that sacrifice themselves for you. Hereby we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. That builds up the church. Every single one of you is important. Let me say one more thing while I'm over time. Everybody in the body is important. And anybody that is not in this church, anybody that's not right here in this assembly, makes this body crippled. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a matter of some is. It's not a flippant, it's not a light thing whether we assemble or not. God said, you do it. How many of you goes to work and leave your arm at home? You ever drive down to work and jump out of your car and whoops, you can't walk, you left a foot at home? Yeah, a lot of them leave their brain at home. But that's what happens. Brethren, that's what happens to the church, to the body, when part of us are not here. We're crippled. It's important. Not just the assembly. I mean the whole welding together thing. It's important. We all need to be together. Listen, if you need any help doing that, getting into this body, helping that body, you come down here this morning, talk to the elders, talk to Robert, whatever you need, do it for the body while we stand and sing.